the sun and the light of the moon. Everything was going to fall, but the light of Rasulullah was unique. When a person goes to Medina Munawwara, you'll understand this light. You will just see the whole world coming, whole world. Some of those women, some of those men are so modern. But when you'll meet that man, he also paid that same price. And when he reaches the masjid, he forgets all his nonsense. He is also like that insect that is just going towards that light. He doesn't know why he's standing there. Someone asked me when I was there, what's the adab of standing here? The answer was that a king, when he looks at people, he looks with a different eye. A king, when he looks at people, he looks with a different eye. So never ever look at another person. That's the adab. You don't ever look at somebody else here and say, he doesn't know the adab. Because the king is looking at everyone. So example, a small child comes running in the majlis of a sheikh. The sheikh smiles. Now a big alim comes running in the majlis of the sheikh. The sheikh frowns. Both ran. Then the one alim shouts the small child. Then the sheikh also frowns. Then what you must worry about him? Why are you even looking? He said, Hazrat is making noise. Are you making noise? So one person's noise never make the king angry. Another person's looking at that person made the king angry. That you came to sort out everyone. You also one person in front. You do your job, he'll do his job. And you will see that majlis of the king, then you'll understand it. Everyone there, his adab is according to the person. So one person will try and look like this one. Now the people who know the qabr, they will know that the qabr is not there. That's a room in front. So no matter how much you're going to look, you're not going to see nothing. But you'll still see that man with that shawk. The guard is pushing him away. He just wants to go. I want to see my master. Like who's in that room? And he gets so thrilled. Like now someone will look at him and say, such an ignorant person. But when a king looks at him, he'll smile and say, his ignorance makes him beloved. His ignorance makes him beloved. The adab of a king. Similarly, around the Kaaba. Around the Kaaba, you are now in the majlis of the king of all kings. They also, what's the adab? The adab is, you worry about yourself and become blind to everyone else. Because the king looks at everyone with a different eye. So you have to worry about how he's looking at me. Because somebody else next to me can be fighting and the king can be smiling. And I can be looking at them and say, they've come here to fight. And I can get a problem. In the majlis of a king, the king looks at everyone with a different eye. So the adab in that court is, you must only look at yourself. And you must worry about how is the king looking at me. Allah Tabarak Ta'ala gave us a king that is called Qamarun, Qamarun, Qamarun. What a moon, what a moon, what a moon. But in the ending, as I mentioned, the moon, what a light. It will never make you tired. But when you want to sleep, it lets you sleep in its light. The sunlight makes you tired. And when you want to sleep, you can't sleep. The moon doesn't make you tired. But when you want to sleep, the moonlight says, then sleep in my light. But the moon cannot light you up. Can't light you. Our qamar, it lights us up. Aisha radiallahu anha described Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as shams. He says, the world has a sun, and I got a sun. He says, when the sun of the world sets, maghrib time, my sun rises, because he comes home. It's night time. He says, the world got a sun, I got a sun. When the sun of the world sets, my sun rises. My sun, because he's coming to me at night. The world got a sun. So he was described as the sun, as the moon, as the siraj, but every description, never give his heart. Everything had a problem, and the Nabi of Allah had no problem. وَكَفُّ الْمُصْطَفَىٰ كَالْوَرْدِ نَادِي And the palm of my beloved, that is like that rose, he says, now scream out, Allah, Allah. And then he said, the itar of his palm, or the itar of his body, or the itar of this rose, which is the palm, that would remain when his palm would touch the hands of other people. So he would just make salam, and that person will return home. That person's wife will ask him, what itar did you put on today? He will say, I made salam with the man who's made of itar. What a smell that would have been. وَعَمَّ نَوَالُهَا كُلَّ الْعِبَادِ وَعَمَّ نَوَالُهَا كُلَّ الْعِبَادِ And his palm, the blessings of his palm covered all the servants. Meaning he had enough to give everyone. And what is that everyone? Who is that everyone? If you have to think about one place I went and they just started a masjid. So because they started the masjid, the imam was saying that, you know, just the other day there was no masjid here. And how the town came together and we just put up this place, like so fast it came up. In a place where there was nothing. So in the bayan I spoke about the kamal of Islam is this. That Allah's Nabi was one which Quran speaks about. كَزَرْعٍ أَخْرَجَ شَطْأَ That what is Islam? It's a huge farm. But once upon a time the farm had nothing. Nothing. It only took out one bud. أَخْرَجَ شَطْأَ One. So imagine you walk into an open area. And one man tells you, this year he's going to give light to the world. And you say, but there's nothing here. He says, doesn't matter. The other day I planted one seed. One seed. He says, normally you'll have to plant 100 seeds and you have hope 10 will grow. You planted one seed. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to plant seeds for Salman al-Farsi. Because they told him, you want to get freed, you must plant so many khajur trees. Not plant, when it grows. The normal land law is you plant the kajur seed or that. You plant it, but all don't grow. All don't grow. So how many you plant, you only have a hope some will grow. Now how many are you going to plant? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told Salman Farsi, tell the man we want. He says, but when the time comes to plant, you don't plant, call me. So he made everything ready, Allah's Nabi came put it in. Everything came. Today also you'll drive past it, they'll tell you, this is the garden of Salman al-Farsi. A garden that came up, where it came up, how it came up. That Jew died, but that garden stands there to say, we came up where you thought we'll never come up. Allah Ta'ala says, my garden of Islam, it was one, kazara'in, farm, akhraja shat'a, he took out one bud. That bud the whole world tried to break. Because as long as the tree doesn't come out, you say, cut the tree before it comes out. It gets very hard afterwards. It had no roots, just pull it out. The whole world tried to pull it out, which you will speak about. أَخْرَجَ شَطْأَهُ فَآزَرَ But Allah strengthened it. So everyone in Makkah Mukarramah tried to crush him. He just started getting stronger. Just getting stronger. Day by day. You can't fight. I said, in this town where you all are, once upon a time, the government went around the world to make sure Islam doesn't come up. But you also were in the farm of Allah. One bud, so many people might have tried to say, it mustn't happen. They got all contacts in all the localities. They don't like Islam. Somehow they missed that paper. That paper went through everyone's hands. Now when they're reading in the newspaper, they're saying, a masjid is coming up. They say, how the masjid is coming up? Stop it, stop it. Can't stop it. You say, who's there in charge? Non-Muslim, non-Muslim, non-Muslim. You say, a non-Muslim likes Islam. What makes him sign, yes, allow the building of the masjid? He's a non-Muslim. Says, his heart and mind is in the hands of Rahman. Rahman. I was speaking about that day, then one person came and told me, you know, now Gaza, this battle in Gaza is taking place. He says, every week, there's processions in this place. But the amount of non-Muslims in that place compared to Muslims is more than the Muslims. He says, and this mayor of this area, not a week he misses. Not a week. But he's a staunch Christian. Staunch Christian. The man says, I really say, Allah, if you have to guide someone, guide him. That we became tired of Gaza, and he every week, finally he said, he came to the Muslims to tell them, you all must stand up for your land. Now what made him come? The heart of the world is in the hands of Rahman. How he can change minds, change thoughts. So one farm took out, no one could stop it. Allah strengthened it. فَآزَرَهُ فَاسْتَغْلَظَ Then it started becoming now fat. Now you can't break it. Now start hitting the tree. The tree is already there. The tree laughs and says, when you could break me, you never break me. Now you want to break me. Too late. فَاسْتَغْلَظَ فَاسْتَوَى عَلَىٰ سُوْقِهِ And now it's standing on its stem. Now it's giving flowers in the world, fruits in the world. Now one is dropping and another tree is coming out. Now it's too late now. Now Islam has gone all over. Say, as it happened once upon a time, it's happening. Every town it's happening. That is why, whenever you will hear of a masjid coming up, of a madrasa coming up, it might look very small. And when it's very small, the expense is very little. One of the best monies to put in is in the beginning. Because later on, that is going to become a farm. We went with Hazrat Hakim Sahib to one place, the government gave him one barren land. Because it's barren land and the government of Pakistan, Allah make it that they become good finally. Their days are now coming of goodness. A lot of things are happening. But from the time the government of Pakistan started, the first person who started it promised the ulama a lot of things. And many of the ulama really believed he'll fulfill his promise. So they were with him, behind him, a very great scholar of Islam. Allah gave him kashf. He says, I see him up till today in the azab of Allah. See him up till today in the azab of Allah. So he got his nice mausoleum there, and everyone praising him. The people of knowledge said, where praise? Burning up till today, burning. Allah knows his reality. But it was an amazing thing, a while ago it came in the newspaper. When he became the president of Pakistan, it was known he's a Muslim. Years later when they celebrated, they speak about he's an Agha Khan. Agha Khan means like a Shiri. Shiri not supposed to be president of Pakistan. But now they picked up after so many years, quietly they mentioned that no, his area is that area. Like, must go visit it. We'll say, I grew up here. He's Agha Khan. You wonder how he became, they put him in. So obviously, they never wanted Pakistan to give what it had to give. Otherwise, so much of goodness in that land. But the days are numbered and Allah is making a lot of changes in the world. Even there you will see the rise of the people of good, the fall of the people of evil. So Hazrat Hakim Sahib was given a land which was like a barren land. They never wanted to give ulama nice land. Always for madrasas. If you have to know the madrasa of Mufti Taqi Usmani, he never even get it from the government. A Muslim brother of South Africa, when he heard Mufti Shafi Usmani is looking for a land, he said, I got one land in Pakistan. And since you really need a madrasa, and Mohanas take anything, especially Mufti Shafi Sahib at that time, it was what an exam for him, because he made such an effort to occupy a land in the center of Karachi. And he had done already a lot of work for the government, so they're supposed to be paying him. And then he said that actually this is the work of the great Allama Shabir Ahmad Usmani. And you all promised, so on his name, you all promised for his services. So this land you all had given it, but now it's caught up in papers and it's just barren. And he made all the effort to take that land, which the government gave to Allama Shabir. He got that land. Now he said, for Allama Shabir, what a Allama. This is the best place to build a Darul Uloom. So he started it, having a Jalsa now. First Jalsa, Ulama called from so many places. This is going to be the first major Darul Uloom in Pakistan, on the land of Allama Shabir. Then you have 15 come everywhere. Someone goes to the family and says, he's using Allama Shabir to get his madrasa. This is your uncle. Allama Shabir Ahmad Usmani had no sons. Hey, your family this is. You all must open the madrasa. They don't even know what a madrasa is. They say, hey, makes sense. We must run the darul. It's our land. So now he said, we want to be on the committee. Because the madrasa is his land. And now the argument starts. Big jalsa, they're going to lay the foundation. It would have been such a madrasa. Center of Karachi. Center. 15. One thought came in their mind. Allah Tabarakala made it that night. How hard it must have been. The jalsa is already taking place. And everyone knows they're going to plant, make the foundation. And he makes the decision, I'm not doing it. I'll find another land for my town. And if I'm landing the foundation, he says, no, no. He says, what starts on a fight, how can there ever be any goodness in it? It's right, it's their land. Forget all the effort that went in getting the government to give it. Forget all the efforts we made. Forget all the people. Forget it all. Just, it's their land. And how Allah Tabarakala then made it. They took the land. Now they wanted to build something. They don't know what to build. So they said, let's build a school. So they put up a university. And the qabr of Allama Shabir, I mean, his qabr, under the qabr is in Jannah. But people of a university, where are they going to ever go to the qabr of Allama to read Surah Fatiha? They don't even believe in it. And to get to the qabr now, you have to go through the university, so no one will even go. And there he doesn't need anyone to visit him. He's in Jannah. But because that family fought for the land, nothing came out. Had they given the land, the whole world would have remembered. Maybe their name wouldn't have been remembered, but they would have also got the sawab of it. But at that time, Mufti Shafi Usmani now gave it. Now he got nothing. And one person hears he needs the madrasa land. I got one land in Pakistan. Today we call it Karungi. That time it was called Bayaban. Bayaban means jungle. Because it was really a jungle, a forest. There was no roads there. There was no, forget lights, there was no roads. So there was no water supply. There was no lights. There was nothing. Yes, they had one man who used to pull the caravan, like, trolley. So that was for who? If any student got bit by a scorpion and they never have the ability to treat him, then they would put that boy in there and tell that uncle, pull. And that uncle whole night running until he finds one hospital far away. That was the only people traveling. That man, because you can't get a car there because rocks. Poor person on the sick also. He's looking bang. And so many people who got bit by scorpions on that day, they wouldn't go to hospital. So what they would do? They said that if you urinate on the place that the scorpion bit you, small child's urine, that will make you better. So some of them used to try that also. Whatever they could try, because you're burning now in heat. So they say, it works, this thing. I don't know if it works, but maybe in Pakistan, a lot of things work. So whatever, anything, because you're in the middle of nowhere. How hard is it? Today, if you visit that Darul Uloom, you will never think once upon a time. Hazrat Khan Sahib was offered a land. We visited the lands. It was such a dead land. That's why the government said, yeah, we give you this land, lovely. They never saw the land. They just know no one can ever use it. Hazrat Khan Sahib came, I remember there were South Africans there on that safar. He told the South Africans, you know, invest here. Very cheap, buy one property here, buy one. And I remember one two was speaking and saying, like, I wonder if anything will ever happen. You know, forest this thing. Who's going to cut the grass? Who's going to cut the grass? Then I visited Pakistan about 5 years later. Just 5 years. 5 years later, the hospital was up. Forget the town, even a hospital was up. The buses were coming for the girls' madrasa, the boys' madrasa. After Darul Uloom Karungi, this became the biggest Darul Uloom, meaning the second of Pakistan. And this became like... And I made 2 years later a trip, and it happened, one of those South African uncles also happened to be on it. And he's saying, I remember that time he told us, invest here. You know, if I had built something, I could have sold it today so much. Because now they were top houses. But what was it just in the life of one man? From nowhere to everywhere. But what it was, because the seed was placed for deen. So wherever the seed is placed for deen, why does it become so strong? Because it got oil. It got an oil that got a source which can't come to an end. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is that siraj, and he's linked to up an oil which is Almighty Allah's special tajalli on him, never ending. So it falls on the heart of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And while he's in his qabr resting, that heart then supplies oil, which we will call tajalli, which we will call noor, which you will call spiritual light. Amma nawalahu kullal ibad. His favors covered all the servants. And as it covers, because it's an oil that never comes to an end, you can go to a king, you can go to a khalif, you can tell the khalif, I want to make a revolution. We're doing lot. You tell the king, I want to do for Islam. He say, Allah, Allah reward you, mashallah. And then you tell the king, but I need some help. The king say, what? How is this what? He says, you know what, there's a land here for sale. He says, so what? Dua is cheap, isn't it? You tell the sheikh, make dua. Sheikh says, Allah, Allah. When you tell someone, give money for the land. He says, how much? The king says, where are king worries? King says, how much? And then he says, only 10 million. Like, only 10. The king says, hey, I'll write out a check for you. He writes, you think it's going to be like, you know, blank check. He makes sure he puts in the money there, 1,000. He says, yeah, yeah. Allah will help you. How much a king can get? But now we got a king in Medina Munawwara. One man from America lands up there. And he is making dua. Oh Allah, oh Allah. And he also has come. I need inspiration from the Nabi of Allah. I want to open up one madrasa in a place where dollars stock. I'm looking at $10,000, $100,000. I got something there. And the king is, carry on. It will come. Another one comes. I'm in a land of pounds. You know how expensive buying one church. The church is so huge. They want so much of, carry on. That thing will come. His favors was going to cover all the servants. That yours will come. Your madrasa is coming up. Your masjid is coming up. Your khanqah is coming up. You'll never see something not coming up. Why? Because taking from a source which never ends and distributing in a never-ending manner. This is Medina Munawwara. وَأَمَّ نَوَالَهُ كُلَّ الْعِبَادِ. In Medina Munawwara, I met a person. He says, you know me, it just came in my heart. I must do something for deen. So he said, I heard your one bayan that before anyone ever did something for deen, he went to Medina Munawwara. He says, I came to Medina Munawwara. So he says, now I met you, I'm so happy. So now I want you to tell me now that part you said he went to Medina. Now you must tell me now, what did he do in Medina? I said, my friend, if I know, I'll also be doing it. Now I won't be sitting and talking to you. I also don't know what to do. I just know that they came to Medina. If after that, if we had the chance, we could have asked them what they did. And they would have also said, we did nothing. We did nothing. Because the king, when he wants to give, he doesn't expect the person to perform. He just wants the person to come. That's the key. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you come to Makkah Mukarramah, come visit me. He never ever wanted his ummah to go through difficulty. But the journey of Makkah to Medina is not easy. Today it's perhaps the easiest ever it was. It was never easy. And he never wanted his ummah to go through difficulty. But here he said, if you come to Makkah, you make sure you come visit me. Why will he say make sure? Because he had so much to give that he never wanted his ummati to go without getting it. So on that point, I'm going to stop now and we're going to explain the surah. What's the point? That you got a master who's ready to give. And now everyone is saying, ish, now I learned it. That to get, I have to go. Where I have to go? The people had to go from Makkah Mukarramah to Medina. How hard was it? In the past it was not easy. And then a time came in Islam where there were people who used to rob on the roads. Kill. Ulama at that time passed a fatwa that people must not go to Medina. Because you're risking your life, suicide. And others who would reach Makkah Mukarrama, someone will tell him, don't go Medina. Suicide. The scholars said it's suicide. And then that man would say, if my life is given to meet the Nabi of Allah, then that's a very cheap bargain. And they would go. Had they stopped, the journey to Medina would have stopped. There were people who went and died. They died. And in the blessings of their blood, the journey to Medina became easy for the world afterwards. Because naturally when you hear, they were killed, people start thinking, how can they be killed? And then the government is put under pressure and then they had to change, and a lot of things changed. And today when a man just sits in a train, sits in a car, I was looking at the train the other day, I said, how long the train takes? It takes about 3 hours, 3.5 hours, 3 hours, 40 minutes. I said, what a nice spit. He said, now the journey from the hotel to the train, and then train station to the hotel, you take your bag, you jump in, you take your bag, you jump in. So I told someone, hey, I'm so tired, that ask the taxi driver, like, how long it will take. So he said, no, normally it takes 5 hours. After I sat in the taxi, I heard the taxi driver telling me that, I told him, come call a bus 10. He said, no, boss, 10 o'clock. Because I promised someone there in Medina, there in Makkah, from Medina to Makkah I'm going. I promised someone in Makkah, at 2 o'clock I'll pick him up. I'm thinking now, 10 o'clock, 2 o'clock, like, how is it going to work? I said, like, I'm saying, quarter past 10, 10 o'clock, what difference? You're not going to get there. His job was to fulfill his promise. I sat in that car, I thought about it, I said, I sat in the back seat, so I don't see the speedometer. And then I closed my eyes, I read my kalima, and he got there 10 to 2. He got there 10 to 2. So he went on the space seat of the train. Seat of the train he went. How he got there? Someone says, Tayyul Ard. That man made Tayyul Ard. 1-2 times I woke up and I was sleeping away without almost passed away. He was still calm. He was still calm. And he got there. Why I woke up, I heard him telling the person, I'm going to be there in 15 minutes time. Don't worry. Then I understood we're on time. I said, what's the time? I was shocked, like before time. Before time. How easy the journey has become today. Only fast, but easy. That time it was so hard. What we learn? Difficulties have to be born to get results. Difficulties have to be born to get results. Whoever wanted something in life had to make the journey from Makkah Mukarrama. They had to make a journey to Medina. Nabi S.A.W. said, Man sabara ala la'wa'il Medina. He makes sabr on the difficulties of Medina. Do it. He said, I will intercede for you on the day of Qiyamah. But you make sabr. But why he wanted? Not that he was bored, I need you to come visit me. Where is he bored? There was something to be attained in difficulty. The surah which I'm going to explain now is going to speak about this. That you have to be ready for difficulty if you want something to happen in life. We all want the ghalba of Islam. But whenever we see difficulty, everyone says, without ghayra dhi shawkati. The battle of Badr, there was the caravan of Abu Sufyan. It had hardly anyone protecting it and it had booty. And then you had the army of Abu Jahl. They had no booty, but they had 1,000 men with weapons. And then you had 313 Muslims. Allah Tabaraka Taala says, your desire, your wish, was that if only you can get that which got no thorn. غَيْرَ ذِشَوْكَ. A caravan full of booty, no thorn. You just go, 313, there they got 15, 20 people, fight, fight, fight. Take the caravan, go back home, you got it. He says, you wanted that. No thorn. And Allah Tabarakallah wanted something else. And Allah made that happen which you never thought was going to happen. Suddenly the enemy came in front. And what happened after that? The world will say, did we do the right thing? Should we have come here? The war of Gaza, how it started. Sometimes some of those mujahids will think, I wonder if we made the right decision. When we made that first entry into Israel, because that first entry was too easy. Everything just like opened up. Normally you'll say like karamat. Whenever you see a karamat which comes in the news, you must know there's a problem with this karamat. There wasn't a karamat in there. The enemy opened it up. The enemy knew they're coming. The enemy let them come. That's why when the investigation went, that how did Israel's security, such a strong security, fail on that day? Then they quietly said, don't worry about this investigation. Where they ever say, don't worry of it. They're supposed to say, we'll find every soldier responsible, kill them also. How could you make that mistake? Next time, don't do it. Such a nice investigation. Why? Because they opened up. Many Muslims after that will think, especially those perhaps who flew in that day and found everything opening, saying how nice it was. We just entered. But after that what happened? Many of them will be thinking, did we do the right thing? But Allah Ta'ala wanted that with the thorn to happen. Many Muslims thought, we don't want that to happen. But Allah wanted the thing with the thorn. Gaza is that. And when the world will see the results of what comes after Gaza, obviously you'll come with cheers, but the whole world will say, we remember Gaza. And it was after Gaza that everything started opening up. Because we today speak about in the madrasa, when the Muslims were put in siege in the valley of Abu Talib, we also speak about it. It was a time where children for 3 years, a child would cry because the mother could not give milk. The scream of the child would go out of the valley right into Makkah Mukarram. Leaders of the Arabs could not sleep at night. That scream started troubling not Muslims, non-Muslims. Until finally the non-Muslims said, we can't manage any longer. Stop this. Non-Muslims started saying, stop this. That was the beginning. It was after Taif that the Muslims came out and the decision of Medina Munawwara started. But when they reached Medina Munawwara, immediately everything wasn't easy. There had to be battles. La uqsimu bihaz al-balad, surah al-balad, the city. It teaches us a law. You must be ready for difficulty if you want to see ease. But what a beautiful start to this point. Allah Ta'ala says, if ever you thought there could be anyone who doesn't have to have difficulty. You heard of Nuh alayhi salam, difficulty. You heard of Ayyub alayhi salam, difficulty. But your mind would have come that, okay, all of them were great Nabis of Allah. But now you're coming to one person who's the beloved of Allah. And if any person was not supposed to see difficulty, it was going to be him. And which land? In the land of Makkah, which is known as a land of Aman. A land of Aman? A land of Aman is Makkah. If somebody from outside Makkah was coming, in Makkah Mukarramah, no one would touch it. If a caravan was going to Makkah, no one would trust it. If it was the caravan of the Quraysh, no one would trust it. So no. And then in Makkah, he is known as As-Sadiqul Amin. People of Makkah fighting with everyone, but fighting with no one fights with him. They're fighting about who must put in the Hajar al-Aswad. Everyone is fighting. They see him. He says, whatever he says. Now imagine this person. If someone has to say, he will ever see problem. The whole Makkah loves him. And he's in the city of Makkah. And he's known as Sadiq. He's known as Amin. No one hates him. No one got a problem with him. He never ever troubled anyone. And only one thing comes wrong. The decision of Hidayah. But when the decision of Hidayah is made by Allah, that one individual who was, according to the mind, the last person to ever see difficulty, he was after that going to see that difficulty in the world, which he would say, I was tested for Allah in a manner that no person before me was ever tested. Quran, this speaks about that. La uqsimu bihadha al-balad. La, some ulama mentioned, there's no need for me to take a qasam. La uqsimu. I do not need to take a qasam. on the city of Makkah Mukarrama. وَأَنْتَ حِلٌّ بِهَذَا الْبَلَدِ Whilst you are the one settled in the city. Meaning, oh man, think about an entire period of 13 years where in the land where no one troubles anyone, even a bird is told, if you come in the land, you will not be hunted. In that land, the most beloved of Allah is sitting in that land, and he is going through the greatest of difficulties. When he is going through that, does the ummah then think that the results of Makkah and Medina will come out without difficulty? This is how the surah starts. But normally you will say, wa means by the oath of. Sometimes you say, la uqsimu, some scholars mention. It means, I will not even take qasam on this. Meaning, this is so open, so glaring, that I'm not going to take a qasam on it. You just think of Makkah Mukarrama, when the Nabi of Allah, wa anta hillun, is settled in the city of Makkah. What an example. One more example. Wawalid. Allah tabaraka, think of a father and the child. Father means the parent and the child. What does it mean? Think about it. That how did someone become a father? How did someone become a mother? How did someone become a child? When you meet a person, you say, how many children you got? He smiles and says, 9. You say, wow. But you're not supposed to say wow to him and he gets so happy, like means I'm like strong. You're supposed to say wow to the mother. Because 9 times she went through birth. One man I met, he told me, I'm one of the few who got a second wife and it's working. So I said, what's your secret? He said, I got 9 children from the first wife. That she in the ending told me, please take another wife. Please take another wife. That's one way. You say, wow, like, there you say, not to the uncle. Uncle did nothing. You say to the auntie, how are you managing the pain of one, another one, another one, another one, another one. Birth pain, pregnancy pain, carrying pain, feeding pain, taking the child off the pain, growing the child up. Then you ask the father, he says, it's not easy running to school, running to madrasa, fighting, taking him here, taking her there. Just one child is just finished. I just thought it's another child starts. Back to school again. The fees are gone up. The school says we have to charge more. Then the one child, third child comes. You see, the first two were so good. The third one is like a rotten. Now they're phoning him every day. Come, your child is troubling us. He comes and makes some dua for him. He's just troubling. It's so much of difficulty. But why are they taking that difficulty? Because in that difficulty comes the happiness of the future. Because my children, these are. One day he says, look at this, my grandchildren. He forgot all the difficulty. All the difficulty. See, my great-grandchildren, you know how many I got? He's so happy, my name is going to stay in the world. But all of that, Allah Ta'ala says, think about it. You think it came without difficulty. But you were ready for it. So look how the surah starts. The Nabi of Allah went through difficulty. You love him. But when you told, are you ready for difficulty, you say, hey. But you always say, my Nabi, his mission. And when the time comes that he went through difficulties, yeah, but that, when normally a man says, the Sahabi would say, Allah's Nabi to be pricked with a thorn, and I'm sitting in comfort, no way. Even if they tell me a thorn will prick him, no way. Love they had, love. Allah Ta'ala said, I take qasam, when he was in Makkah Mukarramah, he went through difficulty. And Islam, then way it went in the world. Are you ready for it? And the second qasam, okay, forget the Nabi of Allah. Because if you say, no, I can't manage difficulty, say you lying. وَوَالِدِهُ وَمَا وَلَدْ How you went through difficulty for children? Because you wanted a child. If you wanted a child and you say, whatever comes, we'll manage it, tell the wife. Don't worry. Wife says, I'm so old at the moment, I'll help you. I say, I remember you in the past, you never helped. He said, I'll help you. Don't worry, we'll manage. He said, you complained about the birth of the hospital. Don't worry. We'll manage. He said, you're lying. You say, I can't manage for Islam. But you can manage for your own progeny. Look at the two. Let me tell you of the Nabi of Allah. He went through it, are you ready? Man says, no, no, hard. He says, okay, what about you? You went through it for your child, you are father, you are mother. How you went through it? And then Allah Ta'ala, third point. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدْ. Remember, we created all men to go through difficulty. So even if you say, I want to run away for difficulty for the sake of deen, you will then see difficulty for the sake of dunya. But you're going to see difficulty. You'll see an old man. He never do anything for deen. But he's living in difficulty for dunya. He say, my children, my grandchildren, this problem is coming, this bill is here. Now I got stomach pains, my wife got stomach pains, he's going. Look for a man who got no difficulty. Look at the surah. 3 points again. Difficulty you're scared of. I don't even need to take a qasam on the city of Makkah when you had the best of Allah's creation in that city. If anyone was going to be saved from difficulty, I would have saved him. So if he went through it, you're running away. The man says, no, I can't manage. Say, you're lying. وَوَالِدِي وَمَا وَلَدْ. Let me take a qasam on father, mother, the one who gave birth and the child. How you manage there? He said, no, I did it for my progeny, do it for deen. Point three, and remember, if you're not ready to go through difficulty for deen, then you are still going to go through difficulty for dunya. Some problem in your body will come, in your wealth, everyone's going to go through it. But then it will just go without any reward. People look at the people of Gaza and sometimes say, what they going through? But that man who died in that day, he's saying exactly like the man in Surah Yasin, he's saying, if only my nation knew how my Allah has honored me. So that man who says, I want to run away from difficulty, not ready for difficulty for deen, أَيَحْسَبُ أَلَّيْ يَقْدِرَ عَلَيْهِ أَحَدٍ. Does he really think that there is one who doesn't have power over him? Does he really think you can run away that says, no, I'll look after myself. Difficulty won't come to me. Difficulty will come. And the last, يَقُولُ أَحْلَكْتُ مَالَ الْلُبَدَ. Allah Ta'ala says, you know, when the issue comes, difficulty comes number one. When you say difficulty for deen, first difficulty is wealth. That someone says, you know what, give charity. It is tabligh that was different. But normally it is, if an alim comes to the town, then the alim tells the person, you know what, help us in this mission. The person says, why? What must I do? He says, I need your money. One place we went to, so the masjid needed money, so they told me that, can you give like 5 minutes, like targheeb. So I said, like, I've given so many bayans, but that man who you called yesterday, how he did it, I can't do it. So they say, no, he takes a cut in the money that comes. So that's his job. So he goes masjid. I thought like mukhlis is like so many masjids he put up. Because I heard him even saying that give. And then he said, who's ready for so much? And he says, I'll give first. I also looked at it, I said, this man is like mukhlis, like for him to take out that, I'll give. But he's not saying, because even in my amount, I'm getting my cut. So the more I get, the more I get. Like, so I need more, give more. I'm not going to stop. But if you say, you don't give a cut now, you're not going to get that. So I said, no wonder he did his job like that. I mean, you tell me, you give me a cut here, I'll pull the whole masjid up. I'll also get my cut. So I never know what to say. So I sat there, I said, you know, I don't know how to do this. And I also want the namaz to start. I'm also tired. So I can just tell you one thing, that everyone comes and says, you know what, we need money. I'm telling you that alhamdulillah, this masjid got all the money. It doesn't need money. So I saw that mutawalli looking at me like, now where's the? I said, the only problem is that money at the moment is in your pocket, it's supposed to be in his pocket. So let's bring it here. And there was the finish. Whether it came or I don't think it came. We need that Joshi guy. Man normally only saw difficulty in money. And how hard it is. How hard. Allah Ta'ala says, it's so hard, isn't it? But that same man will go and have a wedding. And at the end of the wedding, he will say, Yaqulu, he will say, Ahlaktu. You know, me, I wasted maalan, lubadan. You know how much money I spent on this. He even says, I wasted so much on this. Ahlaktu, destroyed so much. And that same man is told, can you give 1% of that? And he'll ask 100 questions. This is Quran. How it speaks to minds of men. Same man says, I wasted, and he's thrilled about it. And then Allah Ta'ala says, Ayahsabu, does he think, Allam yarahu ahad, that no one is looking at him? Does he think no one is looking? When Tabligh started, he changed it. Mawlana Muhammad Ilyas Rahimullah, he tell the people, I don't want your money. People would come to the markaz with money, I don't want your money, I want your time. Time is even harder than money. Time is even harder. He took them to the next. You must give your money with your life. Your time, I want. Forget your money. Say, no, I'll put up this room and I don't want your money. You stay in the room. I want you. Second difficulty. You have to learn to spend first. But it's going to end up spending. No. You will have to learn to give your own time. Does it end on time? No. You will have to learn to give your life. Because everything must be given for Allah. And if man is not ready to give, you can't be ready to get results. Everything must be given. And if the man says, I can't give my life, then how the surah said, you're going to die as it is. Your life is going to go. So when someone asked me, so many died in Gaza, what answer I gave him? I said, did any one of them die before the time? So if they say 70,000, it's much more. 100,000, 150,000. 150,000 on that day was supposed to die. But they were fortunate that they died in the happiness of it. Otherwise they were going to die that day. He would have had a heart attack. He would have had a stroke. He would have just collapsed and they don't know why. One building would have fallen on him. Somebody would have shot him. 150,000 in that 2 year period supposed to die. Because so many others are born, supposed to die. But they died. Their life was given. When people see news, they see pictures, they think if the building never collapsed, the person wouldn't have died. He was going to die. Allah let him die as a martyr. But they gave a lesson to the world. They're not complaining. They're not complaining. Now we end mention now why we're bringing it to this point. This is the last point that we're going to mention on this issue. Remember, years ago we used to speak about Vision 2030. When you would see Vision 2030 written on the Zamzam containers. Now when I went, I saw it's written on the currency. On the currency, Vision 2030 is written. Meaning we're almost there. Amazing thing it was. Allah's system and their system. A few years ago, they said, let's stop the people coming to the haram. People don't know about it, but people who are inside understand. That's why they put up tourist areas. So when you'd go to Medina, Munawara, every hotel would tell you, go here, go and see the people of Thamud. Like, who wants to go and see? So far you go there, you have a braai, it's so hot. It's so hot and you braaiing still. Like. And you say, go some, go there. Few people went and then they show a picture, like some people parking there, saying, right, let's go there. How many people are going to go? They got 5 million coming. 5 million they had on the 27th of Ramadan. 5 million. If they ask the ruins of Samud, how many people came? Because 5 million pitched up here, and you around the corner, and we told them come to you. The ruins of Samud are still ruined. I don't even think 5 came. How come you never tell them? So a few years ago, how they were advertising, go here, go here, go. Don't go Medina. I remember that time they would say, you need one day Makkah, one day Medina, and a few days around. Few days around. No one was going around. Then someone was building his Vision 2030. So suddenly his money dried up. Money dried up, he sat in his mashura. They told him that before we used to get lot money from Umrah. He said, double the Umrah. Double the Umrah. Triple the Umrah. We need money for my vision. Suddenly they opened up. When you come for Umrah, come anytime, please. Haram will take 3 million. No, let's make it 5 million. That's 5 million. We'll manage your crowds. That same group who just a few years ago said we'll stop people coming to the Haram. Same group are now begging people, please come to the Haram. Please come. Come. We'll, this is your day. Tell you, come, come, come. We even come. How Allah works. You will help this deen even with a transgressor. Even with a transgressor. But as that amount of money is now coming in, because Umrah is not cheap anymore. Taxes have lifted up the prices of things that if you go for Umrah, you rather take chocolates from here and go there. We went to the shop, there's something called Lay's, Lay's the crisp. I don't know what the price is here, because we don't buy it here, but I just looked there and I saw it's about 125 rands. I said, I'd rather take here and sell to South Africans there. I said, Lay's here, who wants? But there you won't say 120, you say 20 rand, 25 rand, everything 20, like 20 rand. Like everything, you want the price went so high. But the people never stopped. Very expensive. So as the money is rolling in, the vision is now growing. As the vision is growing, two things had to happen. We mentioned this previously, but now we're seeing it happening very fast. The world has to come to what is known as one global economy. For that day, years ago, we spoke about one day, the power which is called the American dollar will fall. Like how once upon a time, the British pound fell. It was the currency of the world, it fell. But Britain still remained rich. But suddenly, no longer it was regarded as the most important, it fell. And then it came this time. When the dollar will collapse, it's known at that time the world will look for an alternative. And the alternative will be, instead of creating the China, because I can't trust the Chinese, I can't read their writing. It's not when you give 5 rand, I give 10 rand. I can't use this. Let's go to Russia. I say, no way, Russia. No one likes Russia. Let's go to Ukraine. I say, no, Russia don't like Ukraine. Let's go to Turkey. I say, we don't like Turkey. So no one likes no one. So when no one likes no one, who you use? So they say, let's come on to one currency. So everyone is united, but it's no one's currency. So you'll call that like a cryptocurrency. But one digit, one name, no name. And then you say, let's have one government. Because I don't like America anymore, I can't trust him. And I don't like Russia, don't like Ukraine, don't like this one, all the countries failed. They couldn't help Gaza one day. Let's have one government that can look after the world. So in that government, it's everyone. Like all of you sit around the table, all of you. So let's come to one government, one rule, one world order. And it will definitely bring order in the world. And it will bring stability to pounds and dollars. But before that move comes, there's going to be a little market tremble. That's what the world is seeing now. One man from America, he was pulled out of almost going to prison. Suddenly made the president. Why? Because it was taking too long for this to happen. So they brought him in after saying, you're going to go prison, we'll save you and make you president tomorrow. You happy? Yeah, I'm happy. Suddenly the judge said, oh, there's a crime against him. What's the crime? He stormed the White House. Doesn't matter, man. Everyone storms the White House. Just we'll discuss it next week. Oh, he's a president. Now forgot about it. Next week we'll discuss it. But this week he became president. He stormed the White House. Now he lives in the White House. Yesterday they arrested all the people who stormed it. Today they made them all mayors. How they did that? Because they told him, we will put you in, you will have to do one thing. What's that one thing? You will have to crush the dollar. And you'll have to make the whole world hate America. So at the moment, me and you, when you're following news, we're all getting happy. America is falling. America's fall is a very good thing. But obviously, it's part of the rise of another empire. With this whole thing happening, there are going to be people who are going to see some difficulty. And when that vision is coming to its fruits now, for the sake of deen, already people in their minds have to have it. that Allah give me afiyah. I do not want to see difficulty. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's dua, his advice was never ever ask Allah for difficulty. But when you will meet with the enemy, then remain firm. Allah Ta'ala make all of us like that. If that difficulty has to come front, in our wealth, in our time, in our lives, and there's a very great chance Allah will give us the chance to see that Mubarak days. Not like I'm saying it like today is going to happen next week. I'm saying it because if it's in your mind today, it can prepare you and your future for the day of difficulty. If you already say from now, O Allah, I ask for afiyah. But if it has to come, let me not be a coward. Then the day when it comes, you will actually say, I was ready for this from the beginning. I knew it's going to happen. Think of the surah. Makkah Mukarramah and the beloved of Allah in Makkah. What he went through. What every father went through. And what every person has to go through. Difficulty. But the man who will take difficulty for deen, he is going to see results forever and ever. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala accept every one of us in the khidmat of his deen. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala save every one of us from being cowards in this path. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyi al-kareem. وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين والحمد لله رب العالمين.